Do you know what a business model is? And if not, well, maybe we need to have a little talk, because a business model is basically the way in which you are going to make money in your business. So just a little bit important. But here's the thing. If you choose the wrong business model, one that is incompatible with your desired lifestyle, then you will find yourself not only exhausted, but you might be hating your business too. So this is why it's so very important to understand the lifestyle that you want first, and then build your business model around your lifestyle second. So today on the Wealthy Coach podcast, I sit down with master online business strategist and owner of the Sweet Life Entrepreneur Company, April Beach, to discuss how to choose a business model that works for your business and your life. So April is going to teach us how your business model can make or break you, why you should stop looking at what other coaches are doing to make money, the most effective and profitable business model for new entrepreneurs like you, how to prevent building a business you hate, what it means to scale your business and how to do it, the problem with the online course industry and why you should avoid building a traditional course, and the type of program that will position you as an expert in your industry and create raving testimonials with your clients. April Beach founded the Sweet Life Company in 2012 with the specific focus on guiding entrepreneurs and small businesses to launch, grow, and scale online. Featured by MSNBC, Today, Patagonia, and the New York Times, she quickly became the go-to resource for online business strategy for the purpose of achieving lifestyle freedom. Intentionally building a business around life and family. Now, as a renowned business scaling expert, April helps entrepreneurs and small business owners take the lead by launching and scaling their companies online by developing world-class offers, services, and programs through the Start to Scale system, her service creation system, consulting online programs, and her top-rated podcast, the Sweet Life Entrepreneur Podcast. All right, my wealthy coaches, I know you're going to love this episode, so let's dive in. Welcome to the Wealthy Coach Podcast, where I teach you how to become wealthy AF in your business, your mindset, your coaching, and your life. I'm your host, Kendra Perry. I am a former functional health coach turned online business mentor for health coaches, practitioners, and professionals. I'm here to help you grow the online business of your dreams by teaching you the strategy, the tech, and by helping you cultivate the mindset you need to be a badass health entrepreneur. I'm blunt, I'm to the point, and I'll probably drop an F-bomb or two, so fasten your seatbelts and get ready to become wealthy AF. Welcome to the Wealthy Coach Podcast, April.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
I'm excited too. I just recently recorded on your podcast, which was really exciting for me because I listened to the Sweet Life Entrepreneur Podcast. So highly recommend
it. Thank you.
And now you're on mine. So it just feels special. So I appreciate you being here.
Well, yeah. Well, it feels really special being on a podcast called the Wealthy Coach Podcast. It makes me feel really good about myself.
Totally.
Like, this is awesome.
I'm just here to boost people's egos, really.
I'll take it. That's so awesome.
So I'm really excited to talk about today's topic. We're going to be talking about business models and like the possibility of business models. And I was just saying to April before we started recording that one time I was like, you know, on my little pedestal high horse going off about business models. And someone was like, what's a business model? And I was like, huh, like people don't even know what that is. So maybe April, I want to define that. But first I want to hear like your story. Like, how did you become such a, like a badass power woman?
You are so funny. thank you, first of all, for having me on the show. I really am excited to be here and talk to your people. So nice to meet you guys. Kendra followers, super smart people. I'm not really a badass. I'm just a rebel. I'm just a free spirit type of person. I thrive going against the grain. And so I think that my whole entire life, whether it was just my story or the way my parents first started raising me, has just always been, it's almost maybe like there was even like a little chip on my shoulder of intentionally trying to defy the status quo at a really young age. I learned that from my mom at a really, really young age. And so everything I've done has been with this need to want to do things different, to disrupt things. Like when I was really young, it was to piss people off. When I got older, it was really to prove to myself that I could do things that frankly, I should have never have been able to accomplish. And so really, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. I feel really, really blessed. I have a really cool story. Grew up, my parents owned surf shops in California and Hawaii. And so I lived in California in the winter and Hawaii in the summer. And, you know, I was the kid that on a great beach day with my mom would literally pull up to school and take me and my sister out of school because the waves were up or because it was, you know, 80 degrees on the central coast of California. And that didn't happen very often in, you know, February or March. And so I always learned that, and I always believed that life and play always came first. I'm not one of those like work first and then play second. It's like, oh, no. We can do both simultaneously for sure. And so I just learned how to build really unconventional business models from my parents. So when my dad wanted to surf more, we opened up surf shops. When we wanted to travel up and down the coast, he would build oak beach chairs and we'd sell them at arts and craft shows, you know, all over California. When he wanted to play more beach volleyball, he would, we opened the first beach volleyball retail store in Santa Barbara. And it was all so that, you know, we could get the cool stuff and we could play the game. And so I learned that at a really young age. And I always remember like thinking of all those other kids being like, Kai, really sucks for you. Like you're stuck in school, you know, that's not gonna serve me. And so, I've carried that forever and, you know, started creating my own companies, started actually business consulting and consulting other companies when I was about 19 years old, got my first big girl business consulting job, developing a business model, ironically, having no idea what I was doing. But I was 21 and was hired by a big company to develop an integrative, medicine of all things business model. Cool. totally pulled it out of my ass. Had no idea what I was doing. Never went to school never went to college a lot, but just because I like to learn, never got a degree in anything. And, it was a kickoff realizing that there are so many people that want this unconventional type of business development. Yeah. And so, you know, 24 years later, that's all I've done is coach other businesses to build lifestyle focused, you know, business models. That's a long way around explaining how I got here.
I love that though. And it's really important. And I remember, I can't remember if I heard you say this on a podcast or Instagram, but you're talking about like build the lifestyle and then build the business around it, which I think is incredibly important because I know for a lot of new business owners, like they end up just creating a job for themselves, like within their business. And they just feel overwhelmed and stressed. And it's very similar to what they were doing before, except for, you know, now they have a lot of pressure on them. So I love this idea of creating a business around the lifestyle. We also have a lot in common. I was definitely a rebel disruptor in high school. My parents didn't take me surfing, but they took us out of school to go skiing. And so I always thought, sucks for you to go to school while I'm skiing in the mountains. But I love that. That's such a cool story. And so let's dive into the topic because I want to talk about business models and I want you to start by defining that because there's probably people in our audience who are like, well, you know, what the fuck is a business model?
Right. Totally. And I get that. And in hindsight, by the way, even though I was hired in my first big girl business coaching role, to develop a business model, nobody had ever used that terminology then. I didn't realize until I was in my mid-30s that that's what I actually did for these people. So, just so you all know, business models like this term people, you know, will throw around, you know, somebody who might be like an investor will be like, so what's your business model? And you're like, oh shit, makes you feel feel so stupid, and it really shouldn't. So mm-hmm. let's go ahead and like break it down. A business model is very simply how you serve clients and how you make money. So yes. the business model is the activity that you choose to deliver your clients' results and how you bill for that. So some examples of business model are, you know, one-on-one coaching, launching an online course. And there's different variations within each type of course you could launch, a membership community. Maybe your business model is to host a monthly event, to charge people to attend a monthly event. It could, in fact, even be just selling digital products or digital right. downloads. That's another business model as well. So the business model is really just simply that, how you serve clients and how you make money.
Cool. And that makes it sound so simple, right? People maybe just call it something different. So that makes a lot of sense. And I know like you are really heavy focused on lifestyle. So how does business model and lifestyle go together? And why is business model important for lifestyle?
Right. God, such a good question. I'm so glad that we're talking about this on the show. So the business model you choose is going to affect how you work, when you work, who you work with, right. how long it takes you to perform that work. So if you don't choose a business model and have the understanding of what that business model looks like in daily operations in the future, then you could end up building something. This happens all the time, you guys. You could end up building something that you hate, just like you were saying. You know, they end up creating something that's just like a job. And here is why that happens. Number one, and we can dive into this a little bit. It's always something I kind of get on my soapbox about a bit, but when we aren't really sure what we're doing, we tend to copy what other people are doing.
Right.
And we can say, okay, well, she's launching a course. Like that means look at how much money she's making. Maybe I should launch a course, or, you know, she's having virtual events, or she's, you know, hosting a retreat. Maybe I should do that too. And you look at it for maybe a few hot minutes and you think that it looks great. And usually, the financial, idea of the outcome of that is really sexy, and you want to do that. But the reality is that there's a really good chance that that is going to be a disaster for your right. life, for your individual life. And so that's why people, they don't mean to intentionally launch the wrong business model, but they just don't have a full awareness of what that business model does to their life, like how that business model actually affects their life on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and on a yearly basis, in what that means. It's a matter, can I just give like an example of this?
Yeah, totally.
Like, just got off a call with a client, and she literally before this recording, and she has launched this amazing membership community. Within the membership community, she has promised a certain amount of one-on-one time, which was something I had actually advised against. She yeah. really wanted to do that. And so she had offered this one-on-one time. She has reached capacity in this membership community, and she is absolutely exhausted, but yeah. she has sold it for the next 12 months. And so she is frankly stuck there. And so because of the fact that she really wanted to do that, there are a lot of things we all really want to do, and we're so excited about it. Yeah. But if we give ourselves permission to really look at what that's going to do in the long run, in most cases, you might want to make some changes. And so she found herself in that place. Is she making money? Great. Yeah, for sure. Is she totally exhausted and now bound to this particular place that she has to be multiple days a month? Yes. Yeah. And so that's how business model affects your life.
Right.
Very generally.
And yeah. I love this discussion because, you know, when I first started out as a health coach, I was just doing one-on-one, and I really wanted the lifestyle, and the one-on-one coaching wasn't allowing me that. You know, I was getting caught up in like the email and the admin and the appointments and having to show up like at a certain time and like needing to have a certain amount of clients on my schedule to make the money. And I got so burnt out, and that's where business model really became important for me. Cause I was like, well, what is the business model where I still support people and feel like I'm changing lives, yet I can go do my thing and be skiing and be mountain biking and, you know, have this time to like vacation when the fuck I want, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you and I think we talked before, so I travel 4 to 6 months a year. And I have, I just do, I have for a very, very long time. But I also have 3 kids. And so figuring out how to do that, you know, with work all comes down to business modeling. We're not going to necessarily dive into this today, but I do have to say something so that your listeners that are like, oh gosh, this sounds so awesome. The most important thing that everybody needs to understand, because the business model comes second, and that's what we're talking about today. But the first thing, the prerequisite to actually really deciding what your business model is creating like a world-class offer, whatever that is. So it's taking your unique thoughts and ideas and all those things, and just make sure your offer. So what I'm saying is make sure that your offer that you are creating and building or that you have can dictate what you want and need to charge for the business model you choose. You know, if you have a really crappy offer, you're not going to be able to charge $10,000 a person. And maybe if you choose, for example, I want to still work with clients privately one-on-one, but I want to make more money. Well, you have to create an offer that is more valuable then, because you're going to need to work with fewer clients in order to charge more. So I'm sure that that might be stating the obvious to, you know, some people. We really need to make sure the offer really aligns with the price point that you want aligned within that business model. But, you know, really figuring that out, right? So when you go from one-to-one, first of all, one-to-one is the fastest way to scale your business. And I want to say that again, because people don't say that much, and it's not a sexy thing to say. Everybody's like, I just want to launch a course, like a new business or whatever, right? One-to-one is the fastest way to scale your business. And here's why. And this is what Kendra knows. And this is what I know. And hopefully we'll save you guys lots of time if you don't know this yet. When you meet with a certain number of people one-on-one, the very first thing you're going to do is you're going to see a pattern in the most frequently asked questions, the most common things you cover, the most important information that people want to know. You're also going to see certain patterns within, like, where people are getting stuck, where people might need more help. You don't know that as an expert until you've tested what you're delivering, your content and your coaching material, on people one-to-one. And so for some people, it might only take them meeting with 6 people one-on-one. That was with the case with my very first business that I launched of my own. I only met with 6 clients one-on-one before I launched a program, before I launched a group course. Some of you guys, you might have to meet with 60 or 600 people to see the patterns, depending on how intricate of information you're delivering to your clients. So first of all, one-on-one is by far the number one, no pun intended, way that I recommend businesses start out. For whatever amount of time you need to be there, you're going to gain confidence. You're going to get testimonies. You're going to beta test your stuff. And that's what you and were on my podcast talking about, like beta launching, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the first beta before an actual beta, you know, is one-on-one. And then you go into scaling, you know, then you can say, okay, how best can I, number one, it always comes down to giving the clients results first. So the first question you want to ask yourself is, how best am I going to be able to get these people results? What do they really, really need from me in a way that I can deliver this in more of a group setting? Mm-hmm. And then you ask yourself, and here's the question you got to ask yourself, do I actually want to do that? Is that like fun to me? Like they might need me to show up, you know, every Thursday night or Sunday night, whatever, to meal prep at 6 o'clock with them in a Facebook group. But I don't feel like doing that. Like, that's not my life. How else then can I meet their needs with showing up in a way that aligns with what I want to do too?
All right. First off, hallelujah. Thank you so much for saying that, because it's so true. And I'm totally on the same page with you. Like, I know a lot of my students come through my programs and they're like, well, I don't know. Like, I really just want to do a course. I want to do a group program. And I'm like, I get that, but just start with one-on-one, even if it's not your ultimate goal. Cause what you said is like this, there's so much value in the information that you get from them, and you learn so much that, you know, even if you work with like 5 to 10 one-on-one clients, like that could be enough to be able to be significantly more successful in a different type of business model, like group one-on-one. That's great. And I also love that you said, ask yourself, is this actually how I want to support people? Because I see a lot of shoulds, right? Well, I should be doing a Facebook group and I like should be doing this and this and that. And obviously you want your people to be supported, but it has to fit into how you want to support people. Correct?
Right. Totally. 100%. So a couple things along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Porterfield was on my podcast, gosh, years ago, and we were talking about this. And I remember pinpointing her down to the question, you know, how long should people be in business before they launch their first course?
Right.
And she is super upfront about that, even though she sells the creation of courses. And she's like, oh, usually I see on average at least a year.
Yeah.
And so, and that's a big thing because we have so many new businesses that are starting out saying, I want to start with launching a course. So I just want to say that to you guys too. And here's the other thing, if you haven't built a course yet, and we can totally talk about variations of courses and, you know, whatever you feel would be best for your audience. Courses are a lot of fucking work to build.
They are,
I don't care if you have two modules in there. They are so much work to first extract your intellectual property from your own mind, lay it out in a way that you are guaranteeing your people that you're going to get them predictable, transformational results, and then actually building the content into an online platform, which frankly, most entrepreneurs are not tech experts. And so then there's that whole learning curve of figuring out, well, what platform and what's this and what's Kajabi and what's, you know, Thinkific and all these other things. There's so many layers to it. I see so many businesses. So entrepreneurs come to me usually after they have tried things for a really long time on their own and nothing has worked and they're super exhausted. And frankly, most of them have spent so much money, they're actually even broke. And what happens is they've worked so hard to build a course that nobody is buying. And this really goes along with the beta testing too. Either nobody's buying or they've built something like my client who has this new membership community and she is absolutely exhausted and it's been 8 weeks since this community has launched. So it's really important. This one-on-one thing, you guys, I can't emphasize it enough. Just really extracting the frequently asked questions. If you can go in there and just make a note of this client asked this question, and you can't frankly do this as well through interviewing and market research. That's not really how this works so well, right? Mm-hmm. This works well. You need to test your delivery and then your response to their response of the content you're delivering. You need to be able to look and say to them, even virtually here, and just like look at them and how they're responding to that. And really be able to test that and actually see what that actually looks like. So it's not sexy, but I guarantee you one-on-one for whatever amount of time you need to do it is going to make you so much money faster. As a matter of fact, John Lee Dumas was on the Sweet Life podcast. Oh gosh, it was like 2017 or 18. And that was the whole entire show, how you can scale faster by one-on-one. And literally, again, it's not sexy, but I guarantee you it'll make you more money way faster than just diving into launching a course if you haven't served people before.
Just going to take a quick break from this episode to ask you a few questions. So do you absolutely dread your sales calls? Or do you feel awkward and uncomfortable when you get on the phone with a prospective client? Does your voice choke like a teenager when you quote the price of your package? Or potentially you don't even have any sales calls to feel uncomfortable about at all. So while sales can feel slimy and pushy, it is also the single most important activity that you do in your business. Without sales, you actually don't have a business. So I invite you to join me for my workshop, How to Rock Your Sales Calls and Enroll Your Dream Clients. In this 2-hour interactive workshop, I'm going to be teaching you my entire sales process that I have used to sell hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of sales. So I'm going to teach you how to position your sales calls to attract the right people, people who are actually interested in investing. I'm going to teach you how to lead the call so the other person doesn't hijack the conversation. I'm going to teach you how to sell without feeling salesy, slimy, or pushy. So I'm going to teach you how to sell authentically. I'll teach you how to handle objections like a pro, how to follow up to boost your sales, and how to triple your close rate. Plus, I'm going to be giving you the actual script that you can customize and have in front of you as you conduct your sales calls. So let me ask you, what would it be worth to you to feel confident on your next sales call, and to watch your schedule fill up with appointments of ideal clients that you are excited to serve. Very worth it, I hope. So if you want to join me, you can visit go.kendraperry.net/sales. That's go.kendraperry.net/sales. And I will link to that in the show notes. I hope to see you there.
Yeah, I agree. And I think what a lot of new people don't realize is it takes the same amount of time and energy to sell something that's $300 versus like $3,000, right? It's the same. So it's like the biggest pain point that my audience has is that they're broke, right? That's why they come to me, because they're broke. And so I'm like, well, if you're broke and money is your biggest stress, then like, we got to do one-on-one, because that's going to allow you to like not be broke faster.
Right. Totally. Totally. And I will also say this too, and even though we're talking about online business models and you know, one-on-one virtually is one of that. I will also say to you guys that, and you all probably know this and you're seeing this anyway, but there are very few coaches anymore that offer one-on-one coaching. Everybody has gone through this scale. You can join my mastermind. You can join my membership. You can join my course. You can join my whatever. And so if you are a coach that offers one-on-one consulting, your value actually just went through the roof. Because it's so hard to find anybody who's willing to pay attention to like my problem specifically and link elbows, you know, with me and just be like, hey, bro, I hear what you're saying. Let's just dive into what you need right now. And that's a really powerful thing.
Yeah. And that's so interesting. I don't think I've really like noticed that until you said it. And now I'm like, yeah, of course it is so hard to find someone who will do. I mean, me personally, like I don't really offer much of it either. So I love that you said it increases your value. And I think that will really resonate with the audience. So what about, cause you mentioned business model doesn't need to be all or nothing, right? You don't just need to like pick one business model and that's all that you have. Like, is there like some sort of hybrid version? Can you have a couple different business models?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to geek out on this. So this is my zone of genius. It's creating hybrid business models and overall business plans. Mm-hmm. And so here's how you guys want to do this. I'll kind of take you through the steps. First of all, the answer is yes. So you want to create a hybrid overall business model for your company. And it's usually a variation of offers of different ways of serving clients. And I'll give you actually even the step-by-steps to do this high level. Awesome. So people can go through that. What I want you to understand though, on a very micro scale, is that even within each business model, we need to make it hybrid. All right. So I'll come back to that in a second, but let's really start at the 5-year. I'll take you guys through like really, really super speedy fast what I do with my one-on-one clients who are planning this. First of all, I want you guys to think of what you want your life, your week, your average day to look like 5 years from now. Answer these questions. Who are you working with? How does that work look like? Are you physically with somebody? Are you coaching somebody virtually? Are you sitting on your laptop, you know, at the beach? Are you on, you know, on a phone call on the side of a lacrosse field like I am most of the year, you know, with my kids, whatever that looks like, right? I want you to think about it. Do you have a team that you run? How does that really offer up your overall lifestyle that you want 5 years from now? Do you have a book? Do you have a podcast? I mean, listen, dream really, really, really crazy big. If you don't lay it out, you will absolutely, I guarantee you, you will actually never, ever have this. So lay it out, right? And then you need to ask yourself, okay, which one of these offers do I want to be offering 3 years from now? And then you kind of take it back a little bit. And then you ask yourself, which one of these offers do I want to be offering 18 months from now?
Okay.
And then you ask yourself, which one of these offers do I want to launch in the next 90 days? You only really launch one thing at a time, not only because of our own capacity, but because frankly, you're totally going to confuse your audience. If you're like, oh, you could join this and that. And here you go, have like all the confetti and pick which colors you like. Like nobody's going to buy your stuff if you do that. It's going to totally overwhelm them. Mm-hmm. And so you can offer levels like entry here, upgrade and upgrade, but you know, we don't do big sales all at once for different programs. And so that's how you actually create this. So in the first 90 days, if you haven't done and really nailed the one-on-one, it really, I don't want to ever say should, because I don't know what, you know, what your audience is, where they are in their business, but 80% of you, I will say, nail that one-on-one and get your content in place. And then we go to the next part of that. And that is, this is what we call scaling. So that's kind of another term that people really don't get what that means.
Yeah.
Let me totally simplify it for you. Scaling basically means increasing your capacity. So going from serving one-on-one to one-on-many, or it can be none-on-many. So that means you don't even have to show up personally. It can be like digital downloads or on-demand products. Okay. It just means you're reaching more people with the same amount of work. It's not, it's no longer an hour for, you know, a dollar. And so these NYX models, you should really look at, okay, how can I serve more people? Like how can I scale this? Again, coming back to courses, and this is what I was going to promise to share with you guys. Most people are coming back to courses. Right. It's a super smart idea. I would say that probably around 90% of my clients, we help develop their courses, right? Mm-hmm. It's amazing. However, and I don't know how much you guys talk about this on the show, so I don't want to like be redundant or anything, but obviously there's two types of online courses, live and there's evergreen. So you can teach something live, you can teach something on demand.
Yeah.
The data shows that only 6% of people complete evergreen courses.
Oh, isn't that crazy?
That is atrocious.
It is.
How many courses have you guys bought and you're like, this is such great information, but you never do it because there isn't somebody there saying, hey, you didn't show up on Monday. Where were you?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's that accountability piece. And believe me, I have too. I don't even, I'm like embarrassed to say the thousands of dollars and shit I've bought for myself or my team that we have never implemented yet. I'm like, oh, this is a great thing. We should have this. Right. So, but you're the leader now, right? So, as the leader, as the business owner, you really, really have to think of that. I mean, you're creating this amazing content, even if you sold 100,000 of them, okay? The fact that only 6% are actually going to implement what you teach sucks, it does right? Suck. I mean, that's got to feel terrible, right? Because you're doing what you're doing to get people results, to make their life or their health or their, you know, their business better. And so it's really, we never want to deliver something that's great, but nobody's getting results. And so we are seeing a decline in the success and therefore a decline in the sale of evergreen courses. Yeah. As a matter of fact, and I have to look up the source of this data. I'm so sorry, I don't remember it. I'm actually doing a podcast on it in a couple weeks. But the most recent data that has come out is it the sale of evergreen courses is actually declined by 31.3%.
Wow.
Because of the fact that people know they're not going to finish it. And so everybody's like, I know I'm never going to finish that. I'm not going to do it. So what does this tell us as a leader, right? You're the leader. We need to, within the course business model, create that hybrid model. And this is going full circle back to what you talked about. So we need to identify, where are people getting stuck? How can I keep encouraging people to get through this? What are the benchmarks in my course where I know people might be falling off? Can I see the data? You know, what modules are people not completing? By the way, we love like Kajabi is a great platform for this. It'll actually tell you, you know, how much people have completed of your course. And if everybody's dropping off at week three, module three, well, there's something in module three that either you aren't teaching well enough or it's frankly too hard for them to implement. What else can you do better? How can you do that? And cool ideas are like, what about, you have to build an enterprise, but like, what about sending them a gift in the mail that they weren't expecting that would show up on their door week three? And you can say in there and just saying, hey, listen, you know what? This is a really tough week in this course. And it could be a handwritten note. And I just want to let you know, I'm thinking about you, even if they're evergreen, right? You guys get all this on autopilot. I just want to let you know, I'm thinking about you and you can do it. I believe in you. I mean, when's the last time any online course you joined ever sent you a physical card in the mail when you should be on module three? And so those are how we create hybrid within the business model, different hybrid ways. I call it disruption to make sure people are getting results. And believe me, when you do things like that, or if you just send out like a text, you know, update or whatever it may be, or even, you know, offer to have a team member, maybe you can train somebody else to jump on a call with people and really encourage them. You should do it yourself one-on-one when you first launch your course. And, you know, week three, you get a one-on-one call with me for 15 minutes. That's going to, number one, make people really want to get to week three. And number two, it's going to make them love you because they know that you're cheering them on and they know that you're waiting for them at the top of that next benchmark. And so those are the ways that we get people success. Again, obviously almost all my clients are launching courses, but how we're delivering the content within the course is going to make or break your sales of it. And therefore whether or not you're going to hit that ultimate 5-year business model in the future.
No, that's such good information. Those are really powerful statistics. And, you know, when I kind of switched from one-on-one, I was like, fuck it. I just want to go DIY course model. And I did that. And I launched a course at the beginning of last year that was totally DIY. And I hated it for this exact reason. Cause I was like, well, I don't know where anyone is in the course. I don't know if they're finishing it. Like, I don't know if they need support. I don't even know if they like the course because I don't know these people at all. And I really hated that. And so what I'm doing now is basically what you're saying, which is to kind of like create the experience, right?
Right. It's all about, it's all about the experience. And for people like me and you, like we believe we learn through experiences anyway, I'll always learn more standing on a beach than I will in any classroom. You know what I mean? I mean, and those are the people we serve too. Like people are attracted to you that, you know, that we serve. And so our people are the exact same way as we are. So 100%, just meet them where they are. But being super mindful that that your business model is going to affect your life. So as an example, I don't do live course launches. I have 3 teenage boys. I can't think of anything worse than a live course launch. And it just doesn't fit into my life. I have absolutely zero interest to do that. Do we, you know, offer masterclasses here and there that we promote? Yes. Do I do the whole thing running Facebook ads and doing these things? Hell no. I have zero interest to do that. And so just because you see somebody else doing those things doesn't mean you have to do those things to be successful.
Yeah. And it really speaks to like really being intentional with your growth, because I know there's a lot of like, you know, like hustle, grow. But if you're growing without the knowing of why you're growing, that's a problem. I think I've told this before on the podcast, but I remember like sitting down with one of my counselors and I was just like, yeah, I'm like building this business. I'm going to make all this money. It's awesome. And she was like, cool. So what are you going to do with that money? And I was like I, no idea, because I'm like, well, I have everything I need. I can afford everything I need. I was like, oh, like, I don't even know why I'm growing. And I realized that I don't want an empire, you know, like I'm happy with being in like kind of mid range, like, you know, business, like multiple 6 figures, like that's cool for me. Like, I don't necessarily need to make $1 million. I don't need to make 8 figures, you know, or whatever. And I think it's really important for people to really think like, what type of business do you actually want? Because you may not want like a business like Marie Forleo or JJ Virgin, who my audience will know, you know, like what kind of, it's okay if you just want to make $8,000 a year. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Right. 100%. And I love that you said that, you know, money doesn't buy a second of time or really long-term happiness. It just really gives you the freedom. We have to have the money. It's a really great tool, you know, to be able to create the lifestyle that you guys want. But yeah, whatever that looks like to you, 8,000 a year. Awesome. Like kill it. go grab that 8,000 a year. And I mean, as long as you're delivering just really stellar, amazing content in whatever business model you choose, then you're going to attract the right people to you, and you're doing it in a way that's actually getting them successful results. You're not launching a program that leaves people at that 6%. Then you guys are going to do just fine. You know, then the right people are going to be attracted.
Totally. And do you have any advice on, cause you talked about this client who like, you know, sold out her membership and that's so amazing, but now she's locked into this really stressful business model for the next 12 months. So how can people like prevent that from happening? Are there any like preventative strategies they can do from like ending up in like that situation that your client is in?
Yeah. So what I've actually done for your audience is I've given you guys a link that you can share. Cool. It's to download my ultimate guide to online business models. And I realized that is a really, really hard thing. And so I created this guide, and let me tell you, so I have operated a business with every single online business model possible. Right. And so what I've done in this guide is I define the business model and actually what it looks like when you're working with clients. So that's like the first part. And then for each business model, I share with you exactly how it affects your life, what you can do, what you can't do, what you need to be mindful for, you know, all of that. So first you guys are going to get like the structure of the actual business model itself, and then you're going to get how it affects your life. So, I'm sure you'll put that in your show notes somewhere.
I will for sure. That's amazing. Thank you.
I just want to save people time. So, and we talk about all these things. We talk about like, I have a podcast, right? Podcasting is a business model, membership communities, retreats, masterminds, all of it's in there. And so you guys hopefully will be able to, I'd love to be able to save you 3 to 5 years time, you know, Yeah. By knowing already how it's going to affect your life. So really it's taking an understanding. It's really educating yourself on understanding what it requires to operate in this business model. So again, going back to the course example, you know, what does it really mean to launch a live course or to do a live launch with an evergreen course even? What does that look like for my life? What is the, honestly, 6 months, 3 months, 6 weeks look like up to that? There's so much, you know, marketing involved in it. And it's having a full understanding of the operations that the business model requires. So these are the things that honestly, you guys don't see in the front when you're looking at somebody that you really love. These are the things that are in the back end. These are the things that are happening with that company's team. So when you're looking at another business model saying, hey, I might want to do that, it's really understanding, what does this look like? So a couple of ways you can do this, definitely grab the ultimate guide. But frankly, if you see another business out there and you're like, wow, I'm really thinking that might work for me, reach out to them on LinkedIn or Instagram and send a message, say, hey, would you be willing to jump on a 10-minute call with me? You don't have to tell me about your program or anything. Can you tell me what this looks like? Like, how many people do you have working for you? What does it really take to operate this type of a business model? And very simply ask, you know, hopefully you'll come across some nice people that are willing to share that information and give you, you know, 5 minutes of their time could literally save you 5 years. I feel like a Geico commercial when I just said that. You know, really, so understanding what that's going to look like. And it's a very, very important thing. You have to understand what that looks like. You have to understand the capacity. What this client did, because we had all these discussions, she fully knew. What this client underestimated was the number of people that wanted her highest level offer.
Right.
And that's a really cool thing. Mm-hmm. And so she hit capacity on this highest level offer within her membership community immediately because it was so good that she hit capacity. Now, here are a couple of things that she's so sweet. She's like, I should have listened to you, you know, today, that I wanted her to do. I wanted her to charge almost 4 times more than she was for that highest level offer. Right. And she just really didn't feel confident doing that. So she didn't, that could have saved her from capacity and actually made her more money. So don't be afraid to charge what you're worth. Yeah. And the question is people are like, well, what, how do I know what I'm worth? I've never done this before. So you need to sit down and make a list and ask yourself this question at the end of this program course, one-on-one coaching, you will achieve. So you're talking to your client at the end of this coaching, you will achieve. And I want you to sit down there, or these will be your end results. I want you to sit down there and bullet point a list of what are the tangible and not so tangible things that they will experience after buying your program, service, course, product, membership. And when you look at that, and you know, that's why I can say, hey, listen, I save clients 3 years of time when they work in my mentorship with me, because I know the bullet points that they're going to achieve at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And so I know I can quantify that into time and dollar. That's what you guys need to be able to do. So once you can qualify the end results you deliver into either time or dollar, or obviously there's a really big component, which is mental health as well, or, you know, sanity, you know, giving people peace. Once you can quantify that, then you can say, hey, listen, shit, this is worth $5,000. And I almost sold this program for $500.
Yeah.
So that's really how we get to that.
Yeah. And it's so important because, you know, my audience is selling health and wellness, and like how invaluable is that? You know, like people are literally getting their lives back and improving their quality of life. It's crazy what people end up recovering from when they work with a health practitioner, health coach. And I mean, it's just so incredibly valuable. And that's why it like hurts my heart when I see people charging like $300 for their program.
Right. And you know what? And I'm not one of those business coaches where I'm like, you have to go out the gates and charge $10,000, right? Like, I don't think anybody should charge a damn dime until you know the content you're delivering is really great. Again, how do we know that? Share it with 5 people one-on-one. Give it to them for free. Just be, I mean, I don't even care about that. You know, give them, say, hey, listen, can I test this on you? Does it work? Pick people. You got to hold them. If you're giving away for free, you have to hold them some accountability. And then you launch it in a beta where you and I talked about this on my podcast, where you do need to charge. There needs to be some skin in the game. But if you're not sure that you're good at what you do, try it on some people without asking them $10,000 for it. Cause there's some integrity issues in that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I always encourage my students to like increase their prices with every several
clients that they work with because it's more experience. Therefore, it's more valuable. And that's true for every industry, in my opinion.
Such great advice. Yeah, such great advice.
Awesome. April, thank you so much. This has been so enlightening. I'm going to download your freebie. So I'm going to link to that in the show notes. And how can people get more from you? How can they learn from you? Where can they find you if they want to work with you?
Yeah, that's so sweet. Thanks for asking. So I am host of the Sweet Life Entrepreneur podcast. So that's Sweet Life, one word. I think there are a lot of Sweet Lives out there. So just put it together in one word. And we're on all podcast listening apps, including Apple Music, not obviously Apple Music. What is it that just launched? My husband loves it. Amazon Music and everywhere else. Cool. So we're everywhere that you can find podcasts, or you guys can visit sweetlifeco.com. We're hanging out a lot more on LinkedIn. I don't know when this is going to air. I have no idea what I'm doing on LinkedIn, I'll be honest with you. So if you want to see our new LinkedIn lives, you want to see us fail at that, cruise over and follow me on LinkedIn and send me a message. Would love to connect with you more on LinkedIn. And I'm really just the podcast and the website, sweetlifeco.com. Yeah.
That's cool. And so just quick question about LinkedIn, like, does everyone have access to live video now? Cause I know they were kind of rolling it out slowly.
No, I had to apply and get approved for it. So last night I went live for the first time and totally went live for 10 minutes, nailed it. Your audience is going to laugh. Totally nailed it. Like I said, everything I wanted to say. And it turns out I had no video and no audio. So,
it happens.
So redid it and it's nowhere near as good as the first time, as of the recording of this, you do have to apply still.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us today. And I will see you next Monday, same time, same place, where I help you become wealthy as fuck. Bye, everyone.
Thank you so, so much for tuning in. And I'm wondering, do you want to help me with my mission to end health coach poverty? Because if you do, I need all the help I can get. And all I need is 2 minutes of your time. If you could leave me a 5-star review on iTunes, that would help so much. These reviews help get my podcast in front of more people, which means that I can reach more health coaches and complete my mission. Thank you so much for your help, and I can't wait to talk to you in the next episode.